It's beautiful to be with you. And I was very grateful to hear that we would be doing having these conferences in the chapel, because as I said to Mother last night, then you can focus on him more than on me. That gives me great consolation, because he has far more interesting things to say to you than I do, but hopefully I'll get out of the way enough that whatever I say will be, in fact, what he is saying. I'm also grateful to have actually started this retreat with Mass this morning. I was able to get some things out of the way that that hinder me, as I want everything to be perfect, and that for terribly mixed motives, I have to confess. Lots of little things are just not going to be perfect. And we had the Kyrielle in English in there, and I asked her, you know, am I supposed to do something? Do I need to intone something? She said, probably the Gloria. And I said, okay. So I was ready for that. And then, of course, you started in Latin, which I was very grateful for, because it reminded me that Father Stephen was here and that he was forming you in chant. So I was delighted to hear the fruits of his labor and your time with him. And during the Kyrie, Sister appeared in the sacristy, and she started saying something to me, and I had no idea what she was saying. But it sounded like light. And I thought, I'm too light? I'm not speaking loudly enough. It's a problem that I usually have. And so I didn't know what that was. And then it dawned on me, Latin. She was saying Latin. So I knew to go into Latin. But it reminded me, which was a nice thing, of another time when I had misunderstood what was being said to me. For the radio, I get the privilege of interviewing a number of bishops. And the first cardinal that we had on the radio was Cardinal Arinze, whom I was calling in Rome, and he was giving a talk about some things with interreligious dialogue and the Synod on the Middle East. And he had told me in advance, 10 minutes, and so I was watching the time, and then he was going a little bit longer, and I was grateful for that. The whole interview lasted about 15 minutes. And then he said to me, Father, you are fast. And I thought, fast? And I said to him, not realizing that I was in the process of convicting myself, I said, Your Eminence, you said 10 minutes. And he said, yes, and it's 15. And I was really confused then. So I had all of this on tape, and I wasn't sure whether to thank, oh, I thanked him. I wasn't sure if I should apologize or what was happening exactly. I listened to it on tape, and he said, you are past, not you are fast. One letter can make such a difference. So anyway, all of that just helps to expose my own incompetence and inadequacy. And then there are so many options in the Mass, you know, to sing things, to say things. And I didn't clarify any of that with you in advance. And I thought, am I supposed to be singing this part or saying this? Or should I do this in Latin? Should I do this in English? And then I thought, you know, it'll be what it'll be. If it's not all together by now, it's not going to get together between now and the end of Mass. So we'll just do the best we can and be confident that God is going to make up for whatever is lacking. I was reflecting a little bit on our time together and making a retreat. And, you know, when people look at the Benedictine monks at St. Vincent, and we're very active, and they say, when we're taking a retreat, what do you need a retreat for? I thought, like, your whole life was a retreat. And then, of course, I come here, and I look at you, and I think, what do you need a retreat for? But, of course, we do need a retreat, and I just wanted to read a word, a little bit of the wisdom of Saint Benedict on this topic. He actually talks about this in regard to Lent, but, of course, every retreat is a little share in Lent. The same logic applies, and St. Benedict tells us, the life of a monk ought to be a continuous Lent. Since few, however, have the strength for this, we urge the entire community during these days of Lent to keep its manner of life most pure and to wash away in this holy season the negligences of other times. This we can do in a fitting manner by refusing to indulge evil habits, and by devoting ourselves to prayer with tears, to reading, to compunction of heart and self-denial, During these days, therefore, we will add to the usual measure of our service something by way of private prayer and abstinence from food or drink, so that each of us will have something above the assigned measure to offer God of his own will, with the joy of the Holy Spirit. In other words, let each one deny himself some food, drink, sleep, needless talking, and idle jesting, and look forward to Holy Easter with joy and spiritual longing. Saint Benedict, who was always a man of lofty ideals and of incredibly practical realities, just puts it right out there for us. We ought to be living a continuous Lent. We ought to be living a constant retreat, but few have the strength for this. So at least during these days, we try to step it up a little bit, be a little bit more purified of heart, and make a little offering to the Lord in the various ways that he describes, which I think are wonderful. And so I was just praying about what we're doing, and the Lord was giving me this image of a journey, of taking a journey together. And it is together. It's amazing. Why do you need a priest to come and give you a retreat? You have a priest here all the time. What's the purpose of this? But there's something about the way that we are facing each other right now. There's something about the dialogue, and also that we are together making this journey. So I'm going to ramble at you a couple of times a day, and the Lord is going to say something to you in that, and it's going to deepen in your own time of prayer, in your own reading, in your own reflection. So we are not just making a journey, we are making a journey together. And of course, there is a way that we are making a journey, each of us individually. No two journeys here will be the same, even though we will be hearing many of the same words, offering the same prayers, coming together at the same times, many times a day. And it makes me think of World Youth Day that we were just talking about a little last night. World Youth Day was also a great pilgrimage, of course. There were many people from all over the world, from the Diocese of Marquette and from the Diocese of Pittsburgh and from the dioceses in Australia and Ethiopia and Tanzania and all over the world. Everybody making the same pilgrimage, coming together in the same place, and many groups, very large, coming together, but also these very individual journeys. All of the groups were guided by a leader, and he made many of the preparations, or they, the leaders, made many of the preparations. But of course, we bring our individual journey, and we have our individual meetings with Christ in the midst of that. So we'll be taking this journey together. We take also this interior pilgrimage. But in the interior, in the individual dimensions of this, we have to be careful to avoid some of the tendencies to individualism that have developed so much in our society. It's amazing, hundreds of years ago, Alexis de Tocqueville, when he made his evaluation of democracy in America, warned about the danger of individualism. Coming from an aristocratic society in France, Alexis de Tocqueville came to the United States and saw the forming democratic society in the United States, and he identified the danger of individualism, which is that we can surround ourselves with people who share our own interests, with our own projects, and we can become disconnected from people that... So in France, in aristocracy, for example, there was a connection with... There were all kinds of interrelations, even though people were born into somewhat of a caste system, nobility and servants, they were forced into these relationships that they might not have chosen on their own. And so Alexis de Tocqueville saw the danger of democracy, the danger of individualism, that we can just sort of set out on our own path, set forth our own agenda, do our own thing, and even surround ourselves with people who would reinforce our own thinking. Now, we all know that monasteries are filled with people who are reinforcing our own thinking. That was one of those moments you could laugh, right? So, as my parents were worried about when I entered the monastery, well, it must be nice to be with all of these people who think the same way that you do. I thought, where is that again? We had our celebrant for Mass a week or so ago on the Feast of St. Matthew made a great insight. He said, you know, St. Matthew was a tax collector, which meant that he was in league with the Roman government. Also among the 12 apostles was St. Simon, the Zealot, whose whole life, the Zealot class, was defined by being in opposition to the Roman government. And there they were together in the 12 apostles. So as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be. And this is part of the way, precisely, that God undermines this danger of individualism. There's always a temptation in the spiritual journey to make it a journey of gilding my own lily, a journey of seeking my own self-perfection, in which I can create my own spiritual ideals, and then, in fact, I can worship these ideas, my notion of what perfection is, which usually excludes the areas of my weakness and focuses on the areas of my own strength. There's always this temptation in the spiritual life. And it's one of the many ways that in ancient religions, other forms of spiritual practice in Eastern monasticism and things like this, we see some elements which are admirable, but they are all focused on this personal, entirely personal journey of self-perfection, whether it's trying to achieve some kind of perfect inner stillness, or in the Buddhist sense of eliminating all desire in order to eliminate all suffering. But these sort of forms of personal asceticism, of personal triumph, of that's focused far too much on myself, my own journey. So we don't want to be doing that during the retreat, that we're focused on some form of self-perfection. Because also what happens in that is, in running the race, we're more interested in cutting off the baggage, which are usually the people that we're living with, who are slowing me down from my journey of personal self-perfection. We want to just get rid of the weak ones and move on in my own race toward the finish. But this is not the way of Christ. And that's why, so beautifully, it's built into the entire structure of this retreat. We make this journey in a fundamental way together. Together it provides the whole structure of this journey, the times that we are praying together, that we are speaking together, that we are reflecting together, and you have lots of time, even of personal prayer, but together. And that's essential. We're not trying to get rid of the weak ones, but come all together in union with Christ to the Father. So Pope Benedict had a few words on this recently, as he was reflecting on his own 50th anniversary of priesthood, and also his also the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul on June 29th of this year. He said, "At a deep level, the essence of love, the essence of genuine fruit, coincides with the idea of setting out, going towards. It means self-abandonment, self-giving. It bears within itself the sign of the cross. Gregory the Great once said in this regard, 'If you are striving for God, take care not to go to him by yourselves alone,' a saying that we need to keep before us every day." So we make this journey together, this journey of self-abandonment, self-giving that bears the sign of the cross. We make this journey together. "Take care not to go to him by yourselves alone," a saying that we need to keep before us every day. So as we begin this journey in this retreat, I want to place that before us, you know, obedient to our Holy Father. But we also reflect on where is this, now that we've set out how we're going about this journey, side by side, together, traveling together, where are we going? We are making this journey. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself again. I hate it when that happens. I have to be so careful. Just another moment of reflection. I'm losing people already. See, it's We make this journey in together in this context, and we make this journey, there's also represented here together a sign of the greater reality. So we're not just making this journey as 22 of us, I guess it is, but we're making this journey with you as nuns and me as a priest, and we're making this journey here together in this chapel with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And so we're making this journey not just the 22 of us, but we're making this journey as part of the whole church. And that's ultimately the together that we always need to be with. And our Holy Father also in his recent trip to Germany was reflecting on the nature of the church. It was beautiful, actually. In his welcome talk in Germany, he was, of course, speaking to a whole range of people. And he spoke to them about freedom and about what authentic freedom is. And then he spoke to German Parliament, and he spoke to them about law and what authentic law is and where that comes from and what the role of politicians is. All of that's in the realm of natural reason. All of that's in the doesn't require supernatural faith to understand. We can all understand freedom and law through the light of natural reason. But then he had Mass the same day, and he spoke to the crowds of Catholics gathered around the table, the altar, for offering the Eucharist. He spoke to them about our union in the church. And he spoke about the church as the one who opens up to us the path of conversion and salvation. So that word path is important for us. When we're taking a journey, what's the journey we're taking? We're taking the journey of the church. The church is the one who opens up to us the path of conversion and salvation. And Pope Benedict said also in this opening Mass, the church is God's most beautiful gift to us. What a great statement. The church is God's most beautiful gift to us. And so when we make this journey, the 22 of us together, we make this journey not as 22 individuals or even the group of 22 of us. We make this journey in the church and on the path of the church, with the church. And in a very special way, it's my joy being part of the Christ the head, also to be with you, Christ the heart, as we make this journey in the body of Christ, also in the heart of Christ, in the heart of the church. But Pope Benedict also reflected, as your community and my Benedictine community is a microcosm of the greater church, and as we have everything under the sun within the context of the microcosm of the monastic community, just as the 12 apostles had the zealots and the tax collectors there and together in the same group of 12. So Pope Benedict also reflected in that Mass on how the church is, as Jesus said, a dragnet which drags in fish of every kind, good fish and bad fish. And I understand that Father Dan is out fishing right now, so you're probably more acquainted with fish than you've ever been in your lives if he brings any of that into his preaching. But the church is a dragnet that brings in both good fish and bad fish, weeds and wheat. And so I'm going to read a little bit of a longer quotation from Pope Benedict reflecting on this mixture that we experience in the church. Pope Benedict says, if to this, the church being God's most beautiful gift, is added the sad experience that the church contains both good and bad fish, wheat and weeds, and if only these negative aspects are taken into account, then the great and beautiful mystery of the church is no longer seen. It follows that belonging to this vine, the church, is no longer a source of joy. Dissatisfaction and discontent begin to spread when people's superficial and mistaken notions of church, their dream church, fail to materialize. Then we no longer hear the glad song, "Thanks be to God who in his grace has called me into his church," that generations of Catholics have sung with conviction. So what do we do about this? Pope Benedict says, let us return to the gospel. The Lord continues thus, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. For apart from me, i.e. separated from me or outside me, you can do nothing. And so we are making this journey together with us here in this place and together in the midst of the church, recognizing that here in this place and also in the midst of the church, there is a great deal that causes me suffering, not the least of which is the weakness of my brothers and sisters, that continually challenges my dream church, my dream monastery, my dream religious life, and causes suffering along the way. But fortunately, that suffering is not, in fact, in the way. That suffering is the way. That is the way that we have set out in, because the ultimate destination is the bosom of the Father, and we reach that destination only by way of the cross. And so Pope Benedict's instruction for us, taking the instruction of Jesus, abide in me and I in you, the choice to remain in this monastic community, the choice to remain in the church, is a choice to embrace suffering, much of it delivered even at the hands of our fellow Christians or even our fellow sisters. It's a choice to remain with the Lord in suffering, but it is a choice in faith, recognizing that that suffering is not to lead to ultimate destruction and emptiness, but that that suffering leads us to the bosom of the Father by the way of Christ. Well, that's kind of upbeat, huh? So we're engaging on this journey together, a journey in suffering. Part of that suffering is listening to me for 8 days. I don't know, it's suffering for me anyway to listen to me for 8 days. So, but our life every day, in the various challenges. I was just, as I was praying with you last night and again this morning, and I hear the little pitch pipe blow. I can just imagine the various times in your life together, whether you're the one blowing the pitch pipe or the one intoning after that, or the one listening to the person take 3/4 of a second too long to intone that, or actually be a little bit off, not following the pitch pipe, and then maybe even say the wrong word. I can imagine the suffering that happens interiorly. Praise God and thank Him for the gift of that suffering, because it means that we are worshiping a God who is not the God of Jesus Christ. We are worshiping the God of the pitch pipe and the God of time and the God of a number of things which are not actually God. And the little bit of suffering that we feel, if we choose to remain, if we choose to abide, if we choose love in the midst of our religious life, that purifies us of that false God, and it brings us into contact with the true God who has mapped out this journey for us. And when we take this journey together, it is the same journey that Jesus took and that He continues to take with us. As He promises, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. It is a journey that though He was in the form of God, He did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at, but rather He emptied Himself and took the form of a slave. He has come forth from the bosom of the Father. As we hear in John's Gospel, no one has ever seen God. The only Son, God, who is in the bosom of the Father, has made Him known. He has come forth from the bosom of the Father, taking on all of our human weakness, our human poverty, our human imperfection. God knows if Jesus would have intoned correctly every time and within the, you know, 1 second time frame that we're expecting. And He has taken on all of our weakness, all of our poverty. He has not spurned the cross. He has not spurned our human weakness. He is, in fact, more committed to our human weakness. He's more committed to our humanity than we are. He was willing to become man and to remain man. We are not willing to remain man, and we are grasping at becoming God all the time. Jesus is more committed to our humanity than we are. And when we follow him on this journey, we follow him on the journey of self-emptying, on the journey of abandonment to weakness, our weakness and the weakness of those we love with. We follow him on this journey, which was consummated on the cross. Pope Benedict teaches us something so beautiful in a couple of homilies, and I'll be referring to a few of them during these retreat conferences. But he teaches us so beautifully about what Jesus has done for us in undertaking this journey, in consummating his mission on the cross. In his homily on Corpus Christi, Pope Benedict said, reflecting on the words of Jesus, the words that we also should take up as the theme of our journey, as the motto of our journey. This is my body, which will be given up for you. This is the cup of my blood, which will be poured out for you and for all, for the many, as we will soon be saying in the Eucharistic prayer. This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you. This should be the theme of our journey. Not trying to hold back. This is my body, which I want to save at all costs and hold on to as long as I can. This is my body, which I want to keep away from the antagonism of all of my sisters. This is my blood, which I want to keep flowing in my veins. This is my body, which will be given for you. This is my blood, which will be poured out for you. It should be the theme of our journey, because it was the theme of Christ's journey. And Pope Benedict, reflecting on these words, says, when Jesus spoke these words, what happened? It's a great meditation. When Jesus spoke these words, what happened? Pope Benedict says, in this gesture, Jesus was anticipating the event of Calvary. Out of love, he accepted the whole passion, with its anguish and even its violence, even to death on the cross. In accepting it in this manner, he changed it into an act of giving. This is the transformation which the world needs most, to redeem it from within, to open it to the dimensions of the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus took all of our suffering, and by accepting all of it out of love, far more, in fact, than any of us experience individually, because he took all of it on himself. We have such little sufferings and we make them into such great dramas. But he took all of our suffering, a true drama, and he accepted it out of love. And Pope Benedict says it was this out of love that transformed it into an act of giving. And that at the core transforms, it sets in motion this transformation of the whole world. Pope Benedict, in one of his Easter homilies, compared this to a nuclear reaction. He said, this is like nuclear fission. In nuclear fission, there is a chain reaction. Once the first atom is split, it sends off other protons and neutrons, and they then go and split other atoms. And there's a whole chain reaction of nuclear fission, which changes the fundamental, it changes the atom, which, in antiquity, in ancient philosophy, the atom was the inseparable, thus the word, element of reality. But in a fission reaction, even the atom is changed. And so the atom of our person, which we might have thought was our own suffering, it's changed because it was accepted by God in his suffering out of love. And so he opens a way for us. It means that when we accept our suffering out of love, we transform our suffering into an act of giving. This is part of the priesthood of the faithful. This is how we share in the priesthood of Christ when we are called to be a holy nation and a kingdom of priests. We share in the priesthood of Christ by accepting our, to read the again from Pope Benedict, accepting our whole passion with its anguish and even its violence, even to death on the cross. When we accept that out of love, we make that, we transform that, because he has enabled us to, we transform that into an act of giving. And so whether that's the interior sufferings of prayer, the exterior sufferings of things not being the way I want them to be in the community or in the world or in this chapel or in the whatever, whether it's the interior, the bodily suffering of our bodies gradually falling apart as our lives go on, whether it's the bodily infirmities that we bear, whatever our whole passion, with all its anguish and even its violence, whatever it is, when we accept that out of love, it transforms it into an act of giving. And this is how we make progress on this journey together. A journey which, again, being in the church and being together, will take us the distance, because Christ is in the church and He is with us. We make this journey in Him toward the Father. And I just think my hope is in all of these conferences to give you a little saint image. And I think we're coming to the end of our time for this conference. So I'll give you a saint image that you already know very well, but just cast it in this setting of this journey of self-emptying love, of union with our suffering with the cross, accepting everything out of love with Jesus. I think immediately of the Carmelite martyrs of Compiègne. Such a beautiful image. Because we do this, we accept all of this out of love as an act of giving, not just for ourselves. Again, it's not just this pursuit of self-perfection, this gilding our own lily in order to make ourselves shine with our own holiness. We accept this out of love for others, for the church, for the world. As the Carmelite martyrs of Compiègne did so beautifully, consecrating themselves for the salvation of France, to accept whatever suffering would come, to accept whatever sacrifice. And we see also the beautiful fruits of their self-offering as they were able to peacefully go one after the other to the guillotine. We can imagine, even at a psychological level, those who observed them must have been transformed by this. That's real freedom. That's real freedom, to be able to walk peacefully to the guillotine, to first ask permission of the prioress, Mother Teresa of St. Augustine, to be able to ask her permission and then to walk peacefully to the guillotine, to lay down their lives out of love for Christ and as a gift for the world. They accepted out of love all of the passion with its anguish and its violence, even unto death, death on the guillotine. What a transforming effect it must have had on all those who looked on. But more deeply, more powerfully, supernaturally, mystically, what a transformation that had on the world as death was again defeated by love, as sin was overcome by love. Carmelite martyrs give us a path, and maybe it would be valuable at the beginning of this retreat to consecrate yourselves in your own way, to accept whatever difficulties come. In the midst of the retreat, whatever sufferings you endure, especially in this retreat, offer that for some intention. Offer that for the transformation of France, if you like, or the transformation of America, perhaps for the end of this immediate attack that we have with this whole health and human services mandate. You know, Archbishop Chaput, the new Archbishop of Philadelphia, that we're very happy about, we've stolen him from the Midwest. he said at World Youth Day, the way that the world is going, if things continue in this way, my successor will be imprisoned and his successor will be martyred. So Archbishop Chaput said that to a whole mixed group of people at World Youth Day from all over the world. We live in turbulent times that are in need of sacrifice and of prayer. So just invite you at the beginning of this retreat perhaps to consecrate yourselves as we make this journey, a journey of accepting all of our suffering out of love in union with Christ as we together in the church walk on this journey facing the cross, confident that He will strengthen us and sustain us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, out of love for us, you accepted your whole passion with its anger and its violence, even unto death on the cross. In so doing, you have transformed all of our suffering and our sacrifices as an act of giving. thanksgiving, an act of praise, an act of worship. Lord, I beg you to be with your brides, these sisters, on their own journey of faith in this week of retreat throughout their entire religious life. Help them to do all in union with you in the heart of the church for their own sanctification and for the salvation of the whole world. We ask this through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.